You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji from WNYC and PRI, Public Radio International, in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
It's a changing of the season, but it's also a deadline that is fraught with all kinds of complex social and political significance. June 1st is, of course, the beginning of hurricane season, right? And before Katrina, we didn't really think about hurricane season. It wasn't that big of a deal. But this year, of course, and every year since Katrina, the beginning of the hurricane season is a point of memory. It's a point of thinking of what remains undone about that disaster in New Orleans. And you should know that FEMA has set a deadline to evacuate all Katrina victims who are still living in government emergency FEMA trailers by today. Of course, they're not meeting their deadline, but there are people who are still in trailers who are just beginning to receive their eviction notices. Valerie Schechsneider, you're someone who's received an eviction notice, correct?
That's correct.
Thanks for joining us. Describe your experience with the FEMA trailer and what is it going to mean now that you have to leave it?
Well, my FEMA trailer, I move in here in January of 2006. I returned back to New Orleans December the 31st of 2005, and I had such a problem getting a trailer. I had to get an attorney to get a trailer from FEMA. And after I received the trailer from FEMA, come to find out later that I got sick from the trailer. The trailer is formaldehyde.
And in fact, your trailer registers formaldehyde at a rate that's even that's off the scale, that's beyond the highest level that the feds say the FEMA trailers are supposed to have, right?
That's correct. My trailer was tested by CDC, 85 high with the door open, tested with the door open.
And to even live in your trailer, you have to keep the windows open and the air conditioning on full, right?
That's correct.
What's that cost?
That cost me almost $300 a month electric bill that I'm paying out of my own pocket.
Well, Valerie, hold on right there, because the reason we are acquainted with you is because of filmmaker June Cross, who is joining us here in the studio. June, you acquainted us with Valerie and the stories of other people, Katrina survivors, who have lived in these FEMA trailers for as many as 3 years now, have to get out of them. In many ways, FEMA trailers are a symbol of everything that was promised and all that has gone wrong since Katrina. You're producing a documentary for Frontline. Thanks for joining us. Why are the FEMA trailers such a powerful symbol for you as a filmmaker?
Oh, well, they are the only replacement that the government was able to come up with for a house, and it's a pretty bad replacement. I mean, if you think about the average median cost of a house in New Orleans pre-Katrina was about $110,000. My recollection is the government spent about $75,000 to $80,000 installing each FEMA trailer, and then people like Valerie have to pay rent on the daggone trailer, and then they're going to lose the trailer. So you end up with a middle class that once owned homes. Those homes have been destroyed. They're renting trailers, which are going to be returned to the government, and they're left with nothing. It's a diminution of wealth with the middle class. It's just they're just getting screwed. I don't know how else to put it.
And where are they supposed to go? If FEMA has set this deadline of June 1st for those folks to get out of the trailers, has there been some kind of housing that's set up for them?
No, there's no housing set up. There have been a variety of government programs. Basically, this is sort of like pioneers in the West, like every man for himself, every woman for himself. I think Valerie has been able to, she's living in a, or getting ready to move into a modular home. So, you know, some people have been able to use some of the money that was made available through other government state-run programs, notably those that know the Community Development Block Grant Program has a very controversial thing in New Orleans called the Road Home. Valerie was able to get some money through that, and a lot of anywhere up to $150,000, although the average grant has turned out to be $60,000. So you can, whatever you can, however far you can get on some combination of your own resources and whatever you were able to scrape together from various programs that the government has. You either find, make do with something else in New Orleans somewhere, or you move out. A lot of people have left.
The overwhelming truth about your story, and I want to play a clip from the film here in a moment, is that The FEMA trailers and the federal program has done almost nothing to restore the community that was lost after Katrina. Here, listen, here's the story of Sheila Hudson from your film.
Sheila Hudson had the only FEMA trailer I could find in the entire 7th Ward. She seemed like one of the few success stories in New Orleans.
You can't help but wonder. Outside of even, you know, once you put up the walls, all of this stuff can be rebuilt. Mm-hmm. But your environment, your neighborhood, what's to come of that?
Clip from June Cross's Frontline documentary that's in production right now. June, what is to become of that, the environment, the neighborhood?
Nothing. Nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing's happened. There's been the emphasis in New Orleans was the sort of the powers that be had decided that the city had too many poor people, too many renters, and so there was an effort to try to increase home ownership, a laudable goal. The cost of it has been that a lot of the people who actually made the vitality of the community, the renters, the skilled tradesmen, haven't been able to afford to return home. So you have, they call it this jack-o'-lantern effect, where you'll have a house and then there'll be, you know, 10 empty lots and then another house, and then you go for five blocks and there's a house. You know, so there's, it really does feel like the Old West must have felt.
Well, it's like a bad movie set. Because there are those houses, or what's left of the houses, post-Katrina.
A lot of them have been knocked down, and what you're looking at is empty lots.
As empty lots. Yeah. What do you think would help?
Oh, man. I've thought a lot about this. It would help if there was some way to figure out how to get the money to the people like Valerie Schexnader who actually need the money, as opposed to all of the subcontractors in between. That $80,000 that they spent on those FEMA trailers went to seven levels of subcontractors. Ms. Schexnader never got it. She's still trying to figure out how to raise her home. There's a fund that should be made available for that purpose. It's caught up in red tape in Washington.
Well, June, it's an amazing story, an amazing set of symbols. June Cross, a Frontline documentary producer. Valerie, when's your move-in date to your modular home?
Well, right now I'm waiting on electric and plumbing.
So she doesn't have a move-in date yet.
I don't have a move-in date yet.
Good luck to you. Valerie Schexnader is currently living in a trailer on the lawn of her house in the 9th Ward in New Orleans. Thank you very much, Valerie.
NYC Now delivers the most up-to-date local news from WNYC and Gothamist every morning, midday, and evening. With three updates a day, listeners get breaking news, top headlines, and in-depth coverage from across New York City. By sponsoring programming like NYC Now, you'll reach our community of dedicated listeners with premium messaging and an uncluttered audio experience. Visit sponsorship.wnyc.org to get in touch and find out more.